Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Both the House and Senate budgets make cuts to human services and education to come up with the money for a teacher pay raise, and both ignore the next round of tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy that take effect January 1st. Alexandra Sirota with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center joins us now with her take on the budget debate and how stopping the next round of tax cuts could provide the funding for more investments in teachers and schools. Well, Alexandra, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's jump in and talk about where we are in the budget process. We have three budgets on the table, the governor, the Senate, and the House. Without getting into the details, maybe initially, what should folks know overall about these budgets?
Well, I think overall we know that these budgets are ultimately going to make North Carolina worse off because we don't have the revenue coming in that is necessary to make the kinds of investments that will really support North Carolinians and support our recovery into a stronger economy. The fact that policymakers passed a tax plan last year that reduced revenue has really constrained their choices in this session, and you see that reflected in all three budgets. And so really, what North Carolina's left with is a bad choice.
It's interesting that one of the big problems they're having resolving the budgets is how to pay for a teacher raise. Everybody wants to pay teachers in a different way, and some want to take things away, but ultimately they can't find the way to pay for them.
Well, right, and there is an obvious way to pay for them. They can obviously stop the tax cuts that are set to go into effect in January. Not only did they already cut taxes, but they're set to cut them again in January 2015. If we just stop those tax cuts, they would have dollars available not only to support teacher raises, but over the long term to reinvest in the classroom, make sure students have the textbooks they need to learn, and so on. So it's a real choice that they've made to pursue tax cuts that aren't going to support our economy, that are requiring them to make cuts that will harm our economy.
When you say will harm our economy, I know you have heard many times folks with another point of view that say the tax cuts last year have helped our economy and continuing to cut taxes will create more jobs.
Right. And, you know, I don't think we have any evidence that the tax cuts have helped our economy. First, they've gone into effect as of January 1st, 2014. There's certainly not enough evidence to see any significant economic improvement. And besides that, we see that many people are still leaving the labor force. We're still not seeing the kind of job growth that makes what's happening in North Carolina anything special from what's happening in the country. And so there really is no evidence here in North Carolina. Moreover, in other states that have pursued tax cuts, you really haven't seen a job creation boom as a result of tax cuts. And many states have faced real challenges in growing their economy and making sure that the average family is earning at a level that they can support their family and in maintaining basic things for the state like sound bond rating. Those things have fallen in places like Kansas where tax cuts were pursued aggressively.
Let's talk about some of the cuts that have been proposed. The Senate wants to pay for the teacher pay raise by cutting funding for 7,400 teacher assistants, cutting DPI by 30%, and kicking people off of Medicaid. What kind of impact would that have to North Carolina?
Well, I think what the Senate's given us is an example of just how important the state budget is and just how harmful the choices that policymakers make can be. What this will do to families is devastating. We know that when teacher assistants are not in the classroom, it's harder for children to get one-on-one attention in the classroom. We know that those teacher assistants losing their jobs means that those teacher assistants aren't buying things in their local communities. And we know that when the elderly, the blind, and people with disabilities aren't able to receive health care, that they suffer. And oftentimes that suffering is very costly for the state in the long term. And so this is a very short-sighted proposal that will cause tremendous harm to North Carolinians.
The House pays for a teacher raise by counting on increased lottery revenue by doubling the lottery advertising budget from 1% of lottery revenues to 2%. First of all, what's your philosophical reaction to that? And secondly, what do you make of all the talk that the numbers are flawed?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, we know that the lottery is a flawed way to raise revenue for ongoing commitments. We know that the lottery, first of all, is not stable. It's dependent on consumer decisions. And we also know that it relies significantly on low-income and poor North Carolinians paying in by buying lottery tickets. And so it's not a sound way to raise revenue. The best way would be, again, to stop the tax cuts. What I think, though, is that given the fact that the numbers are so off and that the House moved ahead and decided to pass a budget that was fundamentally out of balance, means that that's probably not going to be part of the final proposal, which is a good thing. Again, the lottery was never a great idea to begin with. It was always sold as something that would be additive. It would allow us to innovate in education in the classroom. Using it to pay for the core function of teachers and teachers' pay is just not acceptable.
I want to ask you to sort of step back and take a larger view. I know the Budget and Tax Center has written a lot about sort of where we are in terms of our state budget compared to where we were before the recession. And you still hear sort of the rhetoric in the legislative building and elsewhere that we're still spending too much and that we can cut more, we haven't cut enough. Give us some sort of historical perspective about where we are in terms of our investments.
Sure. I mean, when we look at state spending as a share of the economy, state spending has really become a shrinking share of the economy. And that's important. It's important because we know that when we're making investments in things like educating our workforce, ensuring they have the technology to learn the skills for jobs of the future, all of those things cost money, and they can cost increasing amounts of money over time. And so it's really important that the state continues to maintain its investments. Right now, we are at a 45-year, well below the 45-year average in terms of state spending as a share of the economy. And that's concerning, especially because we haven't made up for the ground that was lost when policymakers pursued cuts during the Great Recession. And not only have we not made up lost ground, we haven't prepared a foundation for the future. So we know that in the future, there'll be a lot of things that North Carolina needs to compete on, and we won't have made the investments necessary to fully compete.
Another thing that I don't think gets discussed nearly enough, a lot of people talk during the budget debate about what happened in 2009, for example, in the budget, or 2010, when deep cuts were made, without mentioning that there was a Great Recession that reduced state revenues. How do you explain to folks where we've been in the last few years to compare to where we are now and taking that recession into account?
Yeah, I mean, I think the recession is fundamental, and ignoring that is ignoring our history and an important part of that. What we saw in the Great Recession was historic job losses, and those job losses really were the driver for the budget shortfalls in many ways. Our revenue collapsed because people weren't working, because corporations weren't profitable, and people weren't buying. And so we weren't bringing in the revenue needed to meet our needs. Over the course of the Great Recession and even the recovery, what we've seen is real challenges for state policymakers to close that budget gap. Certainly in the early years, we saw somewhat of a balanced approach in the sense that there was revenue included in the budget. But what we know is that coming out of that history, it's really critical that the state maintain and begin to replace and reinvest now as the economy is recovering. And that's not what we're seeing.
What are your hopes for the final budget agreement?
Well, I would hope that they would consider the tax plan, that they would look at stopping the tax cuts in January of 2015. That's a fiscally responsible path for policymakers to take. It would be a very simple step to making sure that the budget is closer to being in balance and give some protection against what we anticipate is going to be an even bigger shortfall than they're anticipating right now.
Well, thanks for all that you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, time is running out for a proposal to change the way North Carolina treats juvenile offenders. Stay with us.